you to go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts chapter 4, I want to tell you how to witness to a Jehovah's Witness. If you only get one scripture tonight, this is the one you ought to get. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. I don't think I'll be able to get through all of the things I want to. Oh, let me see. Brother Dan, this is one per family. If you want to, I'm going to give you a lot of notes, and I guarantee you, you will deal with more Jehovah's Witnesses than you'll deal with Mormons. You'll deal with more Jehovah's Witnesses than you will deal with people who believe in keeping the Sabbath. So I'm trying to help you in having some material in your hand so that you can, as they start talking, you have something to say back and to get them shook up and concerned about their own soul. So, so one per family. Sorry, what's wrong? Acts 4, verse 12. Acts 4, verse 12. All right, while you're turning to there, let me just give you a little bit of background on the Jehovah's Witnesses. All right, one per family. Should work out, I hope. All right, Acts 4, 12. Just look at that verse. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, "This is the stone," speaking of Jesus, "which was set at naught, which was made nothing of you builders, which is now is become the head of the corner," the most important stone of them all. "Neither is there salvation in any other," and notice, "for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be," what? Alright, so if you want to get saved, you need to know the name Jesus. Somebody says, the Jehovah's Witnesses say, "Well, you need to know the name Jehovah." Well, not according to Peter. I'll give you some background on Jehovah's Witnesses. It was begun by a guy named Charles Taze Russell a long time ago, back in 1872. He's the son of a Presbyterian minister. He had a lot of problems with the doctrine of hell. How many have a problem with hell? Come on, be honest. Amen. How many have a problem with hell? He had a problem with the existence of hell. He also had a problem with trying to figure out the Trinity. How many have figured out the Trinity? How many have figured it out? You have? God bless you. Amen. I haven't. I can't put my mind around it. Just amazing. He had a problem with the deity of Jesus Christ. How could a man be God? And he had a problem with the person of the Holy Spirit. I had a problem with that. You know what the truth is? So do a lot of people. So do a lot of people. So, at 18, I always wonder about teenagers. At 18, he decided to popularize his ideas. And he started the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Today, that society turns out 100,000 books and Bibles and 800,000 copies of magazines every day. 100,000 books and 800,000 magazines every single day. That's a lot of publishing. Now, Russell wasn't just a guy who just had Bible studies in the home. He actually started claiming that the Bible could only be understood according to his interpretation. So he started to write, and he just figured out he was the bee's knees, and he wrote, and he wrote, and he wrote, and he wrote, and he wrote. But he died, as they all do. And Joseph Franklin Rutherford took over, and he was a lawyer, and always worry about the lawyers. He took over and changed the name of the organization to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Worldwide, they say there are about 19.9 million of them. They got tired of trying to use other Bibles, so they used their own translation called the New World Translation. I'll come to that. They're led by a governing body of Jehovah's Witnesses in Brooklyn, New York. Watchtower Society, you drive along in Brooklyn, and you'll see that thing looking at you. They're big headquarters and printing facilities. They have their own translation of the Bible called the New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures. And by the way, it is not a Bible. It's a perversion. It's a rewrite. And it's dreadful. They promote false doctrines. They promote false prophecies. And they claim that all other Christian denominations are false. That's a funny thing. Now that's the outcome of one man who got stumped on the Bible. You know, I've met a lot of people who come to the Bible and go, "I don't understand it," so they close the Bible. I think that's the most stupid thing in the world to do. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean that you change it or that you think there's something better. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch on his chariot, he's sitting there struggling with Isaiah, wasn't he? And Philip runs up to him and says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" What did the eunuch say? "How can I except some man guide me?" Isn't it nice to just realize that you have a purpose as a Christian to guide. You don't interpret for. You don't tell them what to believe, but you can guide people. You can say, yes, take it literally. If it says hell fire, it's fire. Now, one disgruntled person who just couldn't reconcile some things has created a cult. You know what I choose to do? When I don't understand it, I still believe it. Amen? Somebody says, do you understand the sovereignty of God? No way. But I believe it. Does that make sense? Do you understand the free will of man? No, I don't. But I believe it. So there's a difference between me and Russell Tays. That is, he stopped believing and he changed it so that it would make more sense to him. You know what the problem with that is? He's trying to make God at his level. So instead of me trying to make God make sense out of God, I think I'll just believe him. Amen? That's the difference. A Bible believer comes to the Bible and says, I admit I don't understand such and such, but I believe it. See, I read about a seven-headed dragon there in the book of Revelation, flying around in outer space. You believe that? Believe it. Do you understand it? Not on your life. Don't understand it at all, but I believe it. That's what the devil is really looks like when he's not masquerading in an angel of light. All right, so let me give you some key issues to focus on when you're dealing with a Jehovah's Witness. Hopefully this will help you, okay? First of all, and I've done a lot of study, I've tried to learn about false doctrine and prophecies, but I think this is some good stuff that will really help us. Number one, to the Jehovah's Witness, it all boils down to authority. If you try to tell a Jehovah's Witness about a false prophecy, they're not going to listen to you. They're not allowed to listen to somebody point out what's wrong in their religion. They're not allowed to. They will say, thank you very much, and they'll walk away. But if you will ask them, what's the final authority? Guess what they're going to say. Ask them, is it the Bible or is it a religious organization? They'll always say the Bible. So what I want you to do is I want you to understand there are three points of agreement and one question. You need to ask them to agree with you about three things. If you get this, it will help you be able to go much further with a Jehovah's Witness than you may ever go any other time. And believe me, this will help you understand your Bible, okay, what I'm going to teach you. Because everything that the devil tests, you need to have something to be able to say, thus saith the Lord. And that will help you learn the Bible. Sometimes a spiritual battle will make a strong Christian. So, three points of agreement. The first thing you need then to get them to agree, and they usually will agree, number one, the Bible is God's Word. They will usually agree that the Bible is God's Word. Secondly, you need to get them to agree that we should trust the Bible over any human religious institution. Now, when you say that, they're going to think of the Catholic Church. When you say that, they're going to think of the Protestant Church or the Baptist Church. That's great. We should trust the Bible over any human religious organization. Third, if a religious institution contradicts the Bible, we should follow the Bible. And they will still go, yes, 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 yes. So far, you haven't upset them. So far, you haven't contradicted them. Then you need to give them a question. This is called a logical sequence of truth. The question that you need to ask them, should I follow a religious organization or the Bible? Should I follow? You're asking them, do you think that I should follow the Bible or the Watchtower? You will actually cause them to stop breathing for a moment. They've never thought of that because they believe that the Watchtower is teaching the Bible. So when you ask them, should I follow the Watchtower or the Bible? Now, let's go through this real quick, okay? You see, to a Jehovah's Witness, the Watchtower organization is the source of doctrine. And until you take them, this head elders of the Jehovah's Witnesses, until you take them away, and the Jehovah's Witness only has the Bible, until they only have the Bible, you will never get anywhere with them. Are you with me? Guess what? That's the same for a Catholic as well. Until you take Rome and their grandmother and take the Pope and the bishops out of the way, until you take all that out of the way and just let them look for themselves in the Bible, they will never get saved. Do you understand? You're going to have to deal with what is the right authority. So point one, the Bible is God's Word. And the Jehovah's Witnesses will definitely agree and say, yes, the Bible is our only authority source for knowing God. Secondly, you've already one third of the way. Secondly, because the Bible is God's Word, would you agree that we should trust it rather than any human institution? And they'll be eager to agree with you because they want to say, are you a Catholic? And if you said yes, they go, sure. See, that's a man's religious organization. It's fair. It's flawed. It's wrong. That's what they want to agree with. They want you to follow them. The problem with modern Christians is that we all subscribe to the pagan ideas of religions while the watchtower alone is faithful to the Bible. Third point. If any religious institution teaches something contrary to the Bible, then we need to agree that we will follow the Bible, not the religious institution. You see, this is all building upon one another. And you'd be able to, you'd watch them go, yes, 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 yes. So you might say, as a Christian, I should follow what the Bible teaches, right? You might say, if the Bible teaches something different than what a particular religious denomination teaches, I should agree with the Bible, right? And they would agree. Now, what have you done? You set a trap. You set a trap. Because to a Jehovah's Witness, they think, yes, yes, any religious organization that contradicts the Bible surely is wrong, but they've never thought. I'm dead solid set on. A Jehovah's Witness never imagines that the Watchtower Society has ever been wrong. So to them, they're thinking you're talking about the Catholic Church, you're talking about the Baptist, whatever. If they agree to those three, then you can go to the fourth point, the question. You can look them in the eye and say, if the Watchtower Society taught something that is contrary to the teaching of the Bible, should I follow the Watchtower or the Bible? And they're like, it's not possible. The Watchtower teaches the Bible. That's what they'll say. You go, but if it, just keep at it, if it taught something different than the Bible, it's not possible. They've never thought about it. The goal of talking about that is to get them to understand a truth that we already believe. It's called sola scriptura. That's a Latin word. It means only the Bible. That's why, by the way, we named this church the Bible Baptist Church. Okay? Yes, the name on our tin is Baptist, but we're Bible first. We're sola Bible. We stay just with the Scriptures. And it is our ultimate source of authority, not Pastor Craig, not what Baptists have believed throughout history. It is what thus saith the Lord in the Bible. So if you can get them to agree to the authority of Scripture, you're almost there. Really, at that point, they will listen to you when you point out the Bible. Until then, when you show them something different in the Bible, they're like, no, 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 it can't be that way because my church, my Watchtower Society has told me thus and thus. But when you say, let's look at the Bible, you've disarmed them. Because at that point, you can ask them some questions. Here we go. You ready? I think I gave you some questions. If not, I'll just ask them and you can think about them. Has the Watchtower Society ever taught anything scripturally incorrect? You know what they'll say? I don't think so. Could the society be teaching anything scripturally incorrect now? Because ultimately, in the back of their mind, they know that there have been some mess-ups. As a matter of fact, did you know that they now say, if you believe what Charles Taze Russell believed in 1878, then you would not be a good Jehovah's Witness. Did you know? If you pick up a book from 1925 written by Judge Rutherford and you believe what he wrote and you started to teach it in a kingdom hall, you'd be disfellowshipped. You know, that bothers me. The first two founding members of their religion have been named heretics by the Jehovah's Witness. And most Jehovah's Witnesses don't even know it. let's see, I want to go to Acts 11. Acts chapter 11. For example, this is where you can help them. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. When he had found Saul, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Jehovah's Witnesses first in Antioch. No, they were called Christians. So you might just ask him, why would the name God gave to his people not be Christian? Why aren't you calling yourselves Christians? Why would you call yourself Jehovah's Witness when God called them Christians? They've never asked that question of themselves. If the name Jehovah is so important, why is it never used in the entire Greek New Testament? Now they'll say, here's the point. That's because it was deleted from the Greek New Testament. Here's the point. Follow me. I know. We'll get to some scripture in just a minute. It's going to get really good. But if they believe the Greek has been edited and the name Jehovah was removed by some editors 2,000 years ago, how do you know it hadn't all been edited? How do you know that the Jehovah's Witnesses are right? You see, if somebody can tamper with your Bible and start changing it, how do you know any of it's true? So, you can ask the Jehovah's Witness, how come you put in Jehovah all throughout the New Testament? Jesus didn't call God Jehovah. Do you know that? Jesus called him Lord. Just Lord, not Jehovah. So there's some questions you can ask them. I gave you some of those questions. Well, let's get on. Let me give you now. All right, so what are our three statements and a question? What's our first statement? Can we agree that the Bible is God's Word? Okay. What's the second question? The Bible should be trusted over any religious institution. Exactly. What's the third one? All right, well, yes, she follows it exactly. She's got it. I was going, that was perfect. If a religious institution contradicts the Bible, we should follow them. Then you can ask them if the Watchtower, which is their magisterium, it's their pope, if the Watchtower contradicted the Bible, which should you follow? Okay? Now, let me give you some key scriptures and some things that you just need one good scripture verse for these five or six things that I can't remember their name, excuse me. Because I got them. Russell and then Rutherford, R&R, had problems with, and let me help you so that you don't have a problem with it from the Word of God. Key scriptures and problems for a Jehovah's Witness. Number one, only one God. Let's go to Isaiah 45 and verse 18. Isaiah 45 and verse 18. Isaiah 45:18. Brother Dan, would you read that? Alright. So there's no other God? Would you agree with that? And yet, in their very Bible, in the beginning the Word was, this is John 1:1, and the Word was with God, and the Word was, and yet God says there is no other God. All you need is one verse. Now they'll try and explain it. Just let them struggle with it. God says there is none else. And you can look at, listen, I just give you one. There's 15, it says, no other God, no other Lord, no other God. Second thing, only one Savior. This even gets gooder. Kathy, Isaiah 43:11. Wow. So who's Savior? The Lord is. But what does Luke chapter 2 and verse 11 say? For unto you this day is born a Savior. Wait a minute. Now we got two gods when God says there's not but one. Now we have two Saviors when God says there's no other Savior but me. You see where I'm going? Either God's lying or Jesus is God. Amen? It's pretty simple. Third one. Talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. This one's a little tricky. John chapter 16, Mona. When I say a little tricky, meaning that, you tell me, when you try to talk to them about it, they will look at you like, what in the world is going on with you, Ledbetter? They don't see it. Yes, sir. They have the words. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah 43:11, it says, I am Jehovah, and beside me there is no Savior. So, yes, I'm giving you where it's nearly the same. Okay? Now, John 16, Mona, verses 7 and 8. Okay. Now, it's pretty clear in your Bible, isn't it? This is a He, amen? When He comes, a comforter. Now, I know we call that blanket sometimes, you know, when you're sitting in front of the television, we call that a comforter, but we're not talking about a blankie. We're talking about a person. But notice this person that you can't escape for, when He has come, He will reprove. When was the last time electricity reproved you? But to a Jehovah's Witness, the Spirit is simply electricity. It is a power force. It's not a person. So you say, wait a minute. Now they'll also say, when the Spirit is come, the world will be reproved, instead of the emphasis being on the Spirit will reprove. It has a personality. And then it gets crazier, all right? Those are the best verses that I use, and I would recommend anybody to use to show them John. Boy, all of John 13, 14, 15 are full of the Holy Spirit and His personality. But did you know what the Holy Spirit is able to do? According to John chapter 16, verse 13. Look at verse 16, verse 13. Nita. 16, 13. Look at all the things the Spirit does. In verse 13, He guides, He speaks, He hears, and He will show. That's an active person. It's not a force. Acts 16, it says the Spirit forbade. It stopped Paul from preaching to two different areas. It says the Spirit lusteth, yearns, desires against the flesh, and the flesh lusts after the Spirit, against the Spirit. Look, the Holy Spirit is outraged. The Holy Spirit helps, comforts, quickens, intercedes. The Holy Spirit is active, not a radio wave. It is a person interceding. It has fellowship. Go to 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. And Eric, would you read 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14? All three of them. There's the Trinity. Now, you don't even have to talk to them about the Trinity. You can just show them the Holy Spirit's a person, and it blows them away. the communion of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He has fellowship with us. How can an electrical force, a power force, be loved? How can you test the Spirit? How can you grieve the Spirit? How can you lie to something that's not a person? What did Peter say to Ananias and Sapphira? You have lied to the Holy Ghost. Again, to a Jehovah's Witness, the Spirit is like that electrical cord. How do you lie to a cord? How do you lie to it? You can blaspheme against the Spirit. You can teach the Spirit. You can bear witness to the Spirit. I'm sorry, this is what the Holy Spirit can do. It can teach. It can bear witness to us. It can convict us, reveal future events, inspire prophecy, and it can even call people into the ministry. I'm telling you, that's the person. Now, you don't have to memorize all that. I just want you to be very confident when you show them one verse, and they look at, that's just one verse. You go, oh, there's more. All right? What did I do wrong? Aha. All right. Now, the next one is hell is real. Revelation 14, Allison, verses 9 to 11. Revelation 14, 9 to 11. Alright, this is serious. This is where the rubber meets the road. A Jehovah's Witness believes that when you die, you just go to sleep and you're sitting there just hovering around your body until God calls you back up into resurrection. They want to say that if you are really bad, God will resurrect you and then will throw you into the fire and burn you up. So to a Jehovah's Witness, they think it's more compassionate to just get rid of you. Yes, ma'am? Well, there are a lot of scriptures that talk about people, when they die, they go to sleep. But they're dealing with their flesh. Okay? There are loads of scriptures that say that you go to sleep. But there's a great scripture. I'll take you to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But I wanted you to see about hell. And the point of Revelation 14, it says, in hell, do they have any rest? And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. But there's a couple of good scriptures you can throw at them. You're exactly right. 2 Corinthians 5:8. 2 Corinthians 5:8, Mary Ann. So the moment you're absent from your body, you're present with the Lord. Do you know what Stephen said when they were stoning him and pelting him with those stones? Huh? He didn't just fall asleep. He said these words. Yes, and he said, into thy hand I commend my spirit. Oh, I thought you were going to sleep, Stephen. Why were you giving your spirit to Jesus? Because he was leaving. He wasn't going to hover around his body until the resurrection. He was going to be with Jesus. Amen? How about this one? Now, they actually rewrite the Bible. Some of these things aren't clear in their Bible, and you're going to struggle with some of the things. But this one is a powerful one for me. They won't agree because they've changed the movement. They've moved the comma. Go to Luke now. I need you to go to Luke chapter 23, and I'll show you how sneaky the devil is. Do not let anybody even change a comma in your Bible. Luke chapter 23 and verse 43. Let's see. Myra, would you read Luke 23:43? All right. Do you see where that comma is? It's speaking like this. Verily I say unto thee, comma, pause, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Who was Jesus talking to? He's talking about a good thief, bad thief, all right? He's talking to one of the thieves. He's talking to one that's getting saved, amen? And he says, today, this very day, when we die, you're going with me into paradise, amen? But in Jehovah's Witnesses Bible, guess where they move the comma? Listen to it in their Bible. I don't have their actual, but this is how they say it. Verily I say unto thee today, comma. I'm talking to you today. Thou shalt be with me in paradise, as if whenever. They move the comma so that you don't think that Jesus is talking about today. He says, I'm talking to you today. Like the thief is going, huh? Today? You know, what is that? Nobody even talks that way. I'm talking to you today. Okay, this is freaky. All right. So, they move the comma and they hope that that answers it. It doesn't answer it at all. So, Mark chapter 2 on salvation. Do you know what a Jehovah's Witness says? The watchtower decrees, listen to this, that Jesus cannot save. Doesn't that blow you away? They say that Christ cannot alone save. His atonement does not provide salvation. It is merely a ransom paid to Jehovah in order to remove the evil effects of Adam's sin on mankind. Hey, I remember that. It's called baptism in the Catholic Church. They think that they've removed original sin with baptism. Jehovah's Witnesses just took it a little bit further and says, all Jesus died for was the original sin. You're responsible for the rest of your sin. Isn't that funny? Not according to my Bible. Salvation, forgiveness. Mark chapter 2. Brother Dennis, if you'll read 5, 6, and 7. Mark 2. And they can't deny these verses in their own Bible. Go ahead. Mark 2, 5, 6, and 7. That's a good question, isn't it? Who can forgive sins except God? And yet when Jesus met a man who was crippled, who was shaking, who was unable to come out of his cot, Jesus didn't go over and says, I heal you. What did Jesus say? I forgive you. Your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees went, whoa! Only God can forgive sins. Hello? Jesus is God. And he even answered. He went on and he said, which is easier, to call a crippled man out of the bed and do a miracle that way, or to forgive him his sins? But to show you that I have power to forgive sins, it will heal this man. And they're just stunned, and from that moment they wanted to kill him. Salvation and forgiveness of sin is by God alone and by Jesus. That's why we can say Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation. What is salvation? Forgiveness of sin. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men, under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. You want to get saved by Jehovah? Go right ahead. But you got to remember, Jesus is Jehovah in the flesh. So there's no contradiction at all. You don't have to go to an organization for salvation. You don't have to be baptized to be forgiven. All you need is Jesus Christ. Yes, ma'am. The what? Yes, they're not a publication. It was a booklet. These guys are some of the most prolific writers. You know, I'm glad God finished it. I don't have to write anything. I'm just supposed to preach it. Amen. You know, there's some great books written about the Bible, but you can spend your life. And I'm watching the next generation. I'm watching people go to Bible college. They read all kinds of books about the Bible. And I read tons. I still got all these books I read. But I prefer to read this one. Now, there's nothing wrong. I still read other books. I read anything I can get my hands on. But a lot of people only read the other books. And they're trying to get their head around all these doctrines. I don't care whether you figure out the doctrines. Believe this book. And you'll do all right. Let's look at the person. Look at Zechariah. Chapter 12. Verse 10. Zechariah, Brother Paul, chapter 12 and verse 10. Zechariah is one of those little books before Matthew. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. This is most powerful. They actually, the Jehovah's Witnesses, just recently, about 30, 40 years ago, had to change their Bible to fix this verse because their own Bible said God was Jesus. Look at Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, Brother Paul. Whom they have pierced. Wow. Look at the key words there. He says, they shall look upon Him whom they pierced, or who does it say? They will look on Me who they pierced. And it was God talking. That's God saying, they'll look on Me. And all you have to remind the Jehovah's Witness is, your Bible used to say Me. Now it says Him. They had to change it, even though the Hebrew says Me. It's an amazing thing. All you need is go to Isaiah 44. Let's just do a couple of few things here. Isaiah 44 and Revelation chapter 1. Isaiah 44. And then in your right hand, find Revelation chapter 1. And let's see. Emrio, would you read Isaiah 44 in verse 6? Okay, Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. What's wrong? You're playing catch up, all right. It's the old folks you've always got to wait on. You know that, Emrio. I'm older than you. Okay. All right. How do you have one guy that says, I'm the first, and another being saying, I am the first? They're both the same. Amen? Here's a very simple thing about the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus was a man. How hard is that? But he's no normal man. He's a virgin-born Son of God, but he wasn't another God. He was God who took on the form of a son, who he took on the form of a servant. He was God, but in the flesh. So here's the truth. Instead of, like most cults, they elevate men, and men walk around acting like God. That's what a cult is. Instead of that, he was God coming down and acting like a man. He never stopped being God. He always was God, but he lived as a man, which meant he got hungry, which meant he prayed, which meant that he walked. If I were God, I would float. Wouldn't walk. I'd wish myself somewhere. Jesus didn't do that. He walked everywhere because he was God living as a man. So somebody says, why would God pray? Because it was God living as a man. Why would God eat? Why would God sleep? This works for a Mormon, a Muslim as well. A Muslim says, why would God do this? Because that's what love does. God so loved the world that he became a man so that God could finally die. See, God can't die. But as a man, he could. Isn't that amazing? All right, so maybe that'll help you. The goal. Here's our goal. You want to get the Jehovah's Witness to do three things. Number one, examine the evidence against the Watchtower Society. If you can get them to just start to read outside of the... Did you know a Jehovah's Witness is told, don't go to university? It's a waste of time. The world is about to end. Just stay home. Just go and get people to become Jehovah's Witnesses. Don't go to university. So you'll find them not very well read. They don't read anything except what the Watchtower gives them. And it's very sad. Their kids don't learn anything. They work, you know, mechanic jobs and stuff like this. But they just see higher education as a waste of time. No. The leadership is terrified that their congregation might learn about the errors of the Jehovah's Witness. So get them to get on the internet and read about the thousands of testimonies of people who've been saved out of Jehovah's Witnesses and how they got saved and why they found the flaws. So examine the evidence. Did you know there are constant changes in the New World Translation? As far as I know of 7 major revisions where Bible believers would point out scriptures in their New World Translation that prove that Jesus is God. So they go back and they edit it and then republish it with that change in there so that that problem's not in there anymore. You can't do that. That's cheating. You need to get them to finally start noticing all the constant doctrinal changes. Did you know Charles Russell believed that God was going to bring the people of Israel back to the Promised Land? Now he's called a heretic. They used to believe that Israel was God's people. Now they believe that God was all through with Israel. Now the Jehovah's Witnesses are the final tribes. The constantly changing doctrines include that Charles Russell said it's okay to worship Jesus and God. Then in, where's my date? I don't have my date. I don't have it. Then, somewhere along the line after Rutherford died, they said, you know, we're worshiping 2 deities, we can't do that, and they had to change that, and they changed their doctrine. How would you like it if I'm telling you we need to worship the Lord Jesus? Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Singing to Jesus, and the next Sunday I come in and says, no more worshiping Jesus. Bad, bad. Don't do that anymore. They've changed. They need to know that in 1961, it was okay when they started to do organ transplants. The Watchtower Society said, that's not a bad thing. In 1967, they said, bad, bad. No more organ transplants. There's always blood. And they stopped, and now children and people die because they stop organ transplants. Up till 1928, everybody who was in the Watchtower Society wore a little pin, and it had a crown, and stuck in the crown was a cross. Hello? A cross. You know, 2 pieces of wood. So 1928, and then after 1928, they went, no, it was a torture stick. A stick. It wasn't a cross. Up till 1925, all the prophecies that these guys were coming up with, instead of using the Bible, they were using the pyramids. The cult will always go to extra biblical sources to try to get revelation. And all you got to point out to them, that's why they're called heretics now. Russell was using the pyramids. That's what Masons do. They use right angles and perpendicular angles and heights and depths and foundations to tell the future and stuff. That's all the occult, folks. Constantly changing doctrines and then the false prophecies. You go to Deuteronomy 18. Amanda, would you look at Deuteronomy 18:22? I'm amazed. We're getting a lot farther than I thought we would. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22. Okay, to presume is to speak for someone else without their permission. See, I could presume to speak on your behalf to your husband and say, she said go on without her. She'll make her way home. And you go, huh? I didn't say that. That's presumptuously. And a lot of prophets get up and they speak for God when God never told them what to say. So how do you know if God's speaking? It will always prophetically come to pass. It never fails. The Watchtower Society says, when you want to identify, I'm quoting them, when you want to identify the prophet, The prophet is not a man, this is what the organization says, but is a body of men and women who are a group of footstep followers of Jesus Christ known as International Bible Students, known as Jehovah's Witnesses. They say they're a prophet. Oh, really? Let's see. Do I have any on here? No. Do I have them on there? In 1880, listen to these. This is only 10 out of hundreds. No, it's okay. I'm just quoting you. There are hundreds of things that were written, and you can get them on the internet. You can find them. In 1880, listen to what your man said, Russell said. We need not here repeat the evidences that the seventh trump of Revelation began its sounding back in 1840 and will continue to sound until the end of the time of trouble and the end of the time of the Gentiles, which is AD what year? So the end was coming when? 1914. In 1888, in this chapter, we present the Bible evidence proving that the full end of the times of the Gentiles, i.e. the full end of their lease of dominion, will be reached in what year? 1914. Then in 1889, in the coming 26 years, all present governments will be overthrown and dissolved. That's pretty strong statements. In 1891, he wrote these words. He says, AD 33 to AD 70 was 36 and a half years. And so, from 1878 to 1914 is 36 and a half years. I've got it all figured out. So with the end of 1914, what God calls Babylon and what men call Christendom will have passed away, as already shown in prophecy. In 1908, he says, in view of the strong Bible evidence concerning the times of the Gentiles, we consider it in an established truth that the final end of the kingdoms of this world and the full establishment of the kingdom of God will be accomplished at the end of 1914. Guess what happened in 1918? They had to write something. Therefore, we may confidently expect that 1925 will mark the return of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the faithful prophets of old, particularly those named by the apostles in Hebrews 11 to the condition of human perfection. 1922. The date 1925 is even more distinctly indicated in the scriptures than what year? They're trying to say, well, 1914, okay. 1925 is even a bigger year. Number 8. There was a measure of disappointment, I bet there was, on the part of the Jehovah's faithful ones on earth concerning the years 1917, 1918, 1925, which disappointment lasted for a time, and they also learned to quit fixing dates. At that point, they said, we're not going to fix dates anymore. Really? Look at 1968. True, there have been those times in the past, those in times past who predicted an end of the world, even announcing a specific date, yet nothing happened. The end did not come. They were guilty of what? That's when they started to look back on Russell and Rutherford and say they were false prophets. Why? What is missing? Missing from such people were God's truths and evidence that He was using and guiding them. And then number 10, that was in 1968, and then next month, you know what they said in the Watchtower? Why are we looking forward to 1975? Because they started another prediction. Listen, once you start predicting the date of the return of Jesus Christ, just like that goon over in California back there 3 or 4 years ago, he had to make another date. And then when he's proved wrong, he had to make another date. You can't stop. It's like Pringles. They believe that Jesus would come back in 1975. A true prophet of God will never err in prophecy. You will never miss it. Only a false prophet does. How many times do you have to fail in your prophecy to be a false prophet? Once. And we didn't read it, but in Deuteronomy, what were you supposed to be able to do if you were in Israel if somebody gave a false prophecy? Stone them. Jesus says, well, if you can't stone them, at least don't be afraid of them. The Jehovah's Witness organization, which claims to be the prophet of God, is really a false prophet. Isn't that funny? I'm going to compare them to the Muslims now. What do they say about Muhammad? He was a prophet. Well, really? I always ask every Muslim, give me a prophecy that he gave if he was a prophet, and he gave none. At least when he was sane. When he was out of his head, he did some satanic sayings that will blow your mind. Matthew 24:24 says this, there shall arise false Christs, saviors, and false what? Prophets. And they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. You need to get, listen, all this stuff's on the internet. It's all documented, it's all book, chapter, page, verse, everything's out there. If you can get a Jehovah's Witness to even begin to crack open and look at what is wrong, you've got them. Now here's the danger. They will get angry just like a Catholics get angry when they get burned and they find out that they've been lied to. They just quit on God. They just, I guess there's no God. I guess all religion, you need to be careful not to make them so they figure that God failed them and get them to say, you need to own, again, what was your point? What's the point? The Bible is our source. Get back to just put the awake, put the Watchtower Society stuff in the rubbish. No, no, put it in the fire and read your Bible. Matter of fact, exchange one. Say, can I have your Bible? I love collecting Bibles, and I'll give you mine. Let them read out of your King James. They might take it as a gift. The second thing you want to get them to do, this is your goal. Can we have the goal, Brother Dan, to go and win the argument? Prove to them their organization is evil. Can we have that goal? That's a dumb goal. It's like going up against Mayweather. You're losing. Because they are trained to never give an emotion. You can show them stuff and they go, nope. And they'll go on. They are so well drilled so that you can't get an emotion out of them. Except a little frustration when they can't get their words in. So the second thing you want to get them, so the first thing is to get them so that they'll get on the internet and do some research on their own. Second thing, to believe the Bible as it speaks. Go to Isaiah 8:20. Hannes, Isaiah 8:20. Isaiah 8:20, please. So if anybody will not go to the authority of the law and to the testimony, we say testament, the Old Testament, New Testament, if they won't go to that, it's because there's no light in them. That's a good verse to just hold on to and realize your goal is to get them to believe the Bible as it speaks. If somebody doesn't speak according to this word, it's because there's no light in them, speaking of any religious organization. Get them to just go by the Bible as it speaks. Third, this is your greatest goal. Go to 1 John. Dean, 1 John 5:13. You want to get them to follow the life of Jesus. They've been struggling with Jehovah for years. Aquasi was telling me he had somebody call him up and say, why Jesus, 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 why don't you talk about Jehovah? I'm going to show you why we talk about Jesus. 1 John. Chapter 5 and verse 13. Dean, please. And this is in their Bible, by the way. This is a really strong verse in their Bible. I notice the words that are in there the Jehovah's Witness hates these words. Because watch what they wanted to say. These things have I written in you that believe on the Son of God. No, it doesn't say believe on the Son of God. It says believe on the name. Isn't that sweet? Because they want you to focus on the name of Jehovah. No, I'll focus on the name of Jesus. The only way I know Jehovah is because of Jesus. And you can go ahead and just believe on the name of the Son of God. Get them to realize they've got to follow Jesus. Here's the conclusion. Number one, all religious teachings should come from the Bible. Would you agree with that? I found the Bible to be true. All religious leaders should be held accountable to what the Bible says. Martin Luther stood up there and he says, my conscience is set. I cannot change. I go only by thus saith the Lord. If you cannot show me scripture, then I cannot agree. That's a good thing. All religious teachings should come from the Bible. All religions should be held to the authority of the Bible. One religion says, it's okay for this. Another religion says it's not okay for that. How do you know who's right? The Bible determines what's right. Third, all religious people need Jesus. See, we don't believe that a religious person is okay. See, even religious people need Jesus. Satan blinds religious people more than ruins sinful people. Go to Matthew 21, Barry. Matthew 21, 31, 32. Matthew chapter 21, verse 31 and 32. Who's the you that he's speaking to? Yes, and he says, who's getting into the kingdom of God ahead of you? The publicans, the sinners, the harlots. Because they're easier to win than a religious man. Verse 32. Wow. So even religious people need to repent, but they're the hardest people to get to repent. Would you understand that? Amen. Satan blinds religious people more than he blinds ruined sinful people. They're looking for hope. Number five. You need to desire to open a Jehovah's Witness's eyes with the same powerful gospel that opened yours. Give them your testimony. If nothing else, tell them, this is how I got born again. Oh, it's like rubbing salt in their wound. They can't escape the fact that you love Jesus. Lastly, be ready for a lot of discussion. And you may have to say, I did my part, thank you, God bless you. Don't say God bless you. Just say, thanks for stopping by. The Bible says, don't bid them Godspeed. But the idea is, when you start on this, they will fight you, but have a determination of what you're going to do. All right? Let me give you a little bit of a testimony of a man who got saved out of Jehovah's Witnesses. His name was David Reed. He said on one occasion a Christian pointed out to him that Jehovah and Jesus were both called the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, even in their own New World Translation. David Reed did not flinch when that was pointed out, but he continued arguing with the Christian. When he got home, he panicked, opened up his watchtowers, searched for the answer, and when he saw the answer, he said, oh, okay, at least there's an answer. But when he laid down his head on his pillow that night, he thought, what if that Christian's right? He also remembered how another Christian had shared his personal testimony with him, outlining the change in his life and speaking of his living relationship with God. And that bothered him. He knew he had a relationship with an organization. He studied about God in the Watchtower magazine, but he had no personal living relationship with God. And he knew from the New Testament that the people of the first century church did have a living relationship with God. Years later, when the Holy Spirit finally won him, he testified that none of the words of the earnest Christians had spoken to him were wasted. He said, every one of them haunted me. Finally, God won. So every time you're just, even if you get, they come to your door and you're like, oh, I don't have time for this. You know, that you may be the only chance for them to get saved. If you've got a few minutes, and if you can just get them to agree on what are the three things? The Bible is our authority. What's the second one? I can't remember my mind's. We should trust the Bible over every human organization. And if an institution contradicts the Bible, we should follow the Bible. Then ask them, if the Watchtower ever said anything different than the Bible, what should I follow? And they may just have to admit, yeah, our founding fathers said things that were outside of the Bible. And you may be able then to show them some more. All right? What's the point of it? Just so you can win an argument? Or what are you trying to win? A soul. A soul. They are some very devout people. They motivate me to keep soul winning. Because they keep going, I've got to keep going. Amen? Any questions? Some of you ever dealt with a Jehovah's Witness and just hit a wall? I know Barry's done it, knocked heads on. I know Aquasi's tried. Anybody? I got a question. Nope. Yes, ma'am. That's their Bible called the New World Translation. Yes. You can use their Bible. I've won. If you deal with a Roman Catholic and they go, I don't read a Protestant Bible, get the Catholic Confraternity version. Get the New Jerusalem Bible. Open it up. Show them John chapter 3. Except a man be born from above. That's what it says. That works. And there are verses still in the New World Translation that they haven't edited all of them out there. You can show them in the New World Translation. There's only one Savior. I gave you the verses. Bing, 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 bing. Only one God. They have, obviously, John 1:1 all edited, so it says, A God, or I don't even go there, just go to Isaiah. And you can show them out of their own Bible that Jesus is the same as Jehovah. And then try to explain it to them, and let it just be a seed that planted. Okay? So you can. But ultimately, like it was with all of us, if you can show them something out of your King James Bible, they'll go, that book speaks better than my book. You know what they call a Christian, or call a follower of Jesus Christ in their Bible? A slave. A slave. Paul says, Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. Really? They like a servant of Jesus Christ. You know the difference between a slave and a servant? A slave is forced. A servant signs up. So when they get you reading from a King James Bible, they'll go, that says better than my Bible. You ever try to read a Jehovah's Witness Bible? We were laughing at it. Read Psalm 23. It'll make you throw up. There's no comfort in it. But if they hear Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, out of a King James Bible, it's amazing. They go, I've never heard such words because they've been forbidden to. All right, any other questions? Yes. Show them stuff, yes? The Bible says, or uses the term, don't invite them into your house. But what it means is don't invite them into your church. Because that's where the houses, that's where the churches were at that time, were in houses. You have to play it out. First of all, you have to have the time, because they will soak you up for every hour of your time. They will agree with you as long as they get to come into your house and take over. So you have to determine whether they're really interested, and it'll be hard to tell. First of all, just deal with them at the door. And then say, if you're really interested, come back when you've got some time. Come back. And they'll come back, and usually they'll bring somebody else with them who's a little more trained. So you gotta be kind of like, sometimes you take advantage of it, sometimes you don't. But just realize, they will suck every hour out of your time, and they won't care. They won't care at all. So, do you invite them into your house? Very carefully. If it's going to take you away from your kids, away from your family, don't invite them in. But if you're outside working in the garden, stuff like that, say, here's a shovel, help me. They won't help you. But talk to them outside is my recommendation. Okay? We've invited Mormons into our house, showed them a Mormon video, got them mad as Hades. Man, they were furious. So, but it was an opportunity. So you got to be careful. Yes, sir. That's right. Amen. 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 Especially when you're brand new. Amen. Now they'll use you. Yeah. Be very aware that when somebody gets saved, within a few weeks, the Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses will call to their door. I never met a Mormon a day in my life. I never met a Jehovah's Witness a day in my life until I got saved. And I got saved on the 15th of June, and it wasn't 2 weeks later, a couple of Mormons called at our door, and my mom invited them in. It was another week, and Jehovah's Witnesses came to the door. They just show up. The devil throws them up. And the only saving feature of Eric and myself was when a pastor says, have nothing to do with them. They're a cult. I didn't know anything. I needed to be discipled. Don't forget, new believers have no idea. Jehovah's Witnesses, Baptists, they're all religious. And at least the Jehovah's Witnesses come to their door and they act like they're teaching them the Bible. You and I have to stay discipling, stay burdened, because new Christians are getting sucked into these cults. All right, any other questions? We got to close. Yes, sir, Johan. Good. That's one way to get rid of them. Give me a talk. Amen. You have to add or take away from the Word of God. Is that what it says? Yeah. Do not take away. And they do that. They have edited the Bible. And we don't touch that. Thank you for that verse. We have to close. I always fear about talking about the cults and all this heavy stuff. Let me tell you, we're in a spiritual battle, and I want to equip you so that you can stand. Let's all stand right now.